Bienvenue à Court Toujours, le balado officiel du Festival Regard. Les épisodes sont animés par moi-même, Nicky Lamontagne, ainsi que par Laura Rohard, responsable du marché du cours, qui vient faire une brève apparition pendant l'épisode anglophone. Cette année, on reçoit les 13 cinéastes derrière les 13 Grands Prix canadiens, 13 films qui montrent bien tout l'étendue du talent à travers le pays. Les épisodes ont été enregistrés ici même dans le Mixbus Studio du 23 au 27 mars dernier au Festival Regard, ce qui fait en sorte que certains épisodes ont un caractère plus festif que les autres. Je remercie Hologram de nous avoir prêté la pièce Felicity pour l'ambiance musicale et je vous envoie dès maintenant à la discussion qui vous intéresse. Bonne écoute.
Good morning, Aaron. Welcome to Court Toujours, our official podcast series. This episode is sponsored by the Directors Guild of Canada. So welcome, Aaron Rees. You're the director of Drew. I had this first question for you, like a very, I don't know, easy one, or not that easy, actually. How would you sum up, or how would you describe your film for someone who hasn't seen it yet? I'm just curious to hear, you know, what, in your own words, how would you describe your film, which is like, I don't know, quite unique.
Well, thank you, and thanks for having me. So the film is about three young teenagers, three guys who go on a scout trip to the forests of Ontario, where they're challenged to do this badge, where for one day they can't eat, for one day they can't be heard, and for one day they can't be seen. And it's about, you know, what happens once that badge gets underway, and how they interact with each other. And, you know, it's really about these kind of rituals of, you know, masculinity and kind of these rituals of organizations of, you know, male organizations where people are kind of forced through these interesting situations. And sometimes there's some bad outcomes on the other side. So that's what I would say it's about. It's a, you know, kind of a bit of an adventure story. Kind of a bit of a coming age story, but underneath it all, there's this kind of tension between these boys and their scout leaders and something that they're being forced to do and how that, how they go through that.
And what did you choose like to set your film in this specific, you know, very, very specific world? Like what did, were you a scout when you were young or when you were a teenager? Why did you choose, you know, to have them as scouts, actually?
So I was a scout, yeah.
So you were a scout.
Yeah, I was, yeah. And so I was in Polish Scouts, actually, in Canada, in Ontario. And Polish Scouts is like a whole other world than Canadian Scouts.
How come?
Canadian Scouts, we think of as, you know, helping, you know, someone maybe cross the road or, you know, doing good deeds. You know, Polish Scouts is a lot more like military focused. It comes from this tradition of World War II, right? The Scouts helped the army in World War II in Poland. So in Canada, Polish Scouts is a much more like hardcore militaristic kind of organization. It's a great organization, you know, focused on, you know, wildlife and survivalism and skills. But there's also these kind of like really intense rituals and traditions. And so this was kind of inspired by this real badge. It's actually a real badge. It's not something that's made up that I had to do when I was younger as well. And, you know, it was part of growing up in the early 2000s, which was kind of like a different time, you know, kind of a world away from it is today. I don't think they're doing this right now. So it's inspired by these real experiences. And I kind of took that, you know, those experiences and tried to bring in some other things I want to talk about. So, you know, nothing as dramatic happened in my personal experience.
I hope so, actually. Yeah.
But the scenario, the setting is kind of drawn upon from real places and real things. And yeah.
But it's supposed, what, I don't know, correct me if I'm wrong, but like Scouts movement is usually like supposed to be about brotherhood and solidarity, and here is like the complete opposite. It's just about competition and betrayal. Could you maybe, I don't know, elaborate a bit about, you know, on that? Because it's actually quite curious to see them just fight to get that badge, actually.
I think there's something in there about like the male experience that was kind of the predominant experience of those times. You know, in the early 2000s and still today, you know, there's kind of this tension between the old world and the new world, if you know what I mean. There's kind of like a push and pull between like how we used to do things and how we do things now. And that tension, you know, exists in male organizations and worlds as well. So, you know, whereas this old kind of world is very strict and you don't step out of line, you don't say something you're not supposed to say. And the new world is more, you know, is different. So I think there's like this bit of tension between those two worlds. I think that's kind of where the idea for the competition and for the drama between them kind of came from. Was this tension between old and new. That's what I experienced in all sorts of organizations, not just Scouts, but all sorts of places growing up as a young lad. I think that's the tension between old and new.
You actually mentioned that, you know, you were in Polish Scouts when you were younger. I'd be curious to hear you about like your Polish heritage, because we noted with Nikki, whom I prepared the podcast with, that your previous film called Zadzo had also a Polish title, like this one is called Drew. We did some research actually and found out that, yeah, it was a Polish word. So I don't know, is it a way to maybe, I don't know, is it a tribute to your heritage or is it?
All right. Yeah. Yeah, I'm half Polish and half not Polish. And I think I don't even speak Polish, but I grew up in these kind of, you know, I was in Polish Scouts for many years as one of the few people who didn't speak Polish. And I have this experience where I feel, you know, one foot in, one foot out. So I've got a bit of this and then a bit of not of it. So both these films are this way of me kind of trying to connect with it and show some of these experiences on screen, but they're in a different way. I'm not fully Polish all the way, but I feel like my experience is, you know, different than someone who's not of this, who hasn't seen these rituals from an organization like Polish Scouts, or has experiences with people who come from, you know, a post-Soviet state, you know, and has family like that. So yeah, it's a bit of that experience of one foot in, one foot out, and a bit of maybe even confusion having a bit of both, you know, worlds.
Definitely. And what, you know, I was also wondering what references did you have in mind when you wrote the script? Did you envision? Did you have like some films in particular, like in mind when you wrote and when you actually shot? I think it's quite important to talk about that. So I don't know if you want to say a few words about that.
For sure. Well, you know, one of the films that I really love that, you know, inspired a couple even like shot for shot inspirations, Barry Lyndon. I love Barry Lyndon, and I just love the, you know, kind of poetic nature of that film. It's kind of like the film is this poem in these largely natural backgrounds with these kind of sweeping static shots. And so there was this like, I love the poetry of how Barry Lyndon is made. And in this film, you know, while we're making it and editing it, we always joke that it's like, you know, there was like five poems in the film itself. There's like the poem the guy reads, there's the poems the leaders read. So there's at times we're editing the film and it was like we have just poems back to back to back. And that was this very, that was a way that I wanted to present the film in this lyrical, you know, almost maybe medieval fable type of way. Then I also love the film Night Moves, which is, you know, about these eco-terrorists trying to, you know, blow up a dam in rural Oregon. And it's this very quiet, all largely at night, of course, like the title suggests, and kind of this, you know, work about, you know, conspiring in the shadows, in the wilderness, in these kind of quiet, dark situations. And I just really loved how that is presented and how you kind of sink into the atmosphere of it. So those would be my two, like the two biggest references that I use going into this.
And, you know, we noticed that the last shot is actually like, because you mentioned like about the cinematography, but, you know, the last shot is quite important. There's just like blood dripping from the bad. Why did you choose that exact or that particular, you know, shot to end the film, which is like a very strong, powerful one? I'd be curious to hear you about that.
So that shot was about how the lead character, he gets the badge. He succeeds, you know, through his troubles and through this, you know, I guess I'm giving away a little too much. Please still watch the film, even if you listen.
Actually, this is supposed to be like a bonus content for like people who will, well, who will have watched the film. So it's all good.
I'm not giving away spoiling. So he succeeds in this challenge. And in that succeeding, you know, there's a shot that is not in the film that we took out of him getting the badge, but it doesn't really explain much more. But basically he succeeds, but there's, you know, a little more, you know, the leader maybe, because the badge is attached with a pin onto him. And so he succeeds, but maybe there's something more. And maybe he's gotten a little bit of consequence, maybe, for his actions, or maybe it's something else. But essentially, there's success has come with a price, is basically what that shot is supposed to mean. And what that price is not really fully defined, but there's a price for the action.
And it's actually interesting because you left out like some important, I don't know, sequences, or, you know, like at some point, like the main character fights and just like fights with his opponent, or, you know, or, well, basically it's not supposed to be his opponent, it's supposed to be like, I don't know, a brother, his friend, or, but I don't know, becomes a foe in the end. But so you left out, it's about what you, I don't know, put in and what you leave out, I thought, because, you know, sometimes you just cut and then we're just back to the next morning, or we back, you know, to, you know, the day after. Why did you choose to leave out those important scenes?
Well, I wanted there to be some interpretation about what was happening in that sequence from the climax of the film into the next day. And I didn't want it to be so
obvious, maybe?
Obvious. And I wanted people to be maybe guessing about what was going on between them. And I just love the idea of that kind of like confusion in the aftermath of something really intense that happens. And there's some kind of confusion and we don't necessarily know all the pieces of the story. And so the audience is maybe a little bit confused too, and gives them something to think about. And yeah, another, while you're talking about, you know, him fighting his friend, another just kind of off topic, but back to the scout point. So the title of the film, Drew, which is this word in scouts that we were working, or that we were called Drews. And, you know, as I was like starting to write a film, which came from a totally different direction, but as I was starting to write, I was, you know, this word and this whole kind of experience came back to me. And I looked it up. And what it meant is, you know, a loyal scout and friend, you know, that you could count on like a brother. And so that's, you know, these two young guys in this conclusion, they're supposed to be like brothers, supposed to be more like friends. But this word, you know, even though we were called it, we were accustomed to it, this word like almost doesn't even exist in the modern Polish language. It's a word that is only in these very specific subgroups. There's very few results for this word on the internet. So just kind of like these people who have lost their heritage and lost something, this word is even a relic of another time. So that's just a kind of a side note that I want to bring back. I want to, with the kind of the cutting in scenes, I want to maybe bring a little bit of confusion into it.
Definitely. But I think that's what you managed so well. You succeeded in that, actually, because you get confused, like, so who got the feather? And, you know, it's just like, it's definitely working out. Actually, I was also curious to, so this is your second short film, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
How would you say, like, that, how, I don't know, have you evolved as a filmmaker since that? So do you see like some progress? Do you know where you're headed in your career? Where would you like to be maybe in 5 years? What kind of progress or evolution do you think you've managed or, I know, done?
So I'd like to make a feature film next, I think is the way I want to go. And I think the film was a really, really big learning process for sure. And it was very, for me, it was very challenging. It was, you know, done during COVID. So that was a really big challenge. And it was shot in a remote location and with lots of locations that were not easy to get to, you know, even though sometimes it's hard to even tell on screen. But, you know, it was a challenging shoot, a very challenging shoot. You know, it was cold and there was a lot of lugging gear up the hill, so to speak. And so very challenging. And then the editing and, you know, post-process was also very challenging. It was far from a perfect script, so to say.
How come?
That's a good question. I think, you know, it was really ambitious in its script. So the first cut of the film was like 27 minutes long. Like it was a very long opus. And so it was this long process of bringing it down to what made sense and what worked for the film. And that was a very long and challenging process for me. And, you know, It was a learning experience. Yeah, it was definitely a learning experience. And I think it made me, you know, blew it the same with the first film and this film too. It, you know, I think each film for me has, you know, kind of brought my focus a little more clearly into, you know, into my mind, like has made me focus a little more. So I feel like for the next film, I want to be even more focused on what it is I want to do and what I want to accomplish with it. So yeah, the next move is to make a feature film. And, you know, I've got an envisioned something, you know, a very low budget film, you know, making something a very natural, very low budget, you know, maybe back out in the woods again, maybe. And that's the plan.
Will it involve scouts again?
It might. This film definitely could be a feature film. There's definitely a whole world to do, explore, but I'm not sure. I don't believe so, but we'll
see. One last question I had for you. Who do you look up to in general?
That's a question. You know, honestly, I really look up to the people that I've worked with, like on the film. I know that sounds corny, but it's true. Like, you know, we worked the group that we worked with, you know, it was a very talented group who really pushed themselves. And I do feel like, you know, I look to my peers, you know, in the film community as the people that I would look up to. So there was really lots of talented people who worked on the film. The cinematographer, Jesse McCracken, he's also a director in his own right of documentaries. The editor, John, who has worked with me for a while now and has put up with so much bullshit. It's not even funny. You know, the producers as well, Elena and Cueva. And then outside of that, you know, people in the Toronto film world, I definitely look up to, you know, directors like Kazakh Radwinski, who's, you know, breaking out into the world scene. And I honestly just like look with, you know, happiness at seeing these young Canadian directors really like succeeding on the world scene. And then also, you know, something I thought a lot about was like, even just short film culture in Quebec is something that inspires me too. It's definitely a lot more ambitious, I found. And, you know, that was another thing I set out to do, was to try and be more ambitious and to kind of, you know, not make a boring film. You know, I've seen a lot of films in my life, you know, and I want to make something exciting. And, you know, I find that Quebec short films are all, there's a lot of ambition there. And I wanted to try and be inspired by that as well.
Well, anything you want to add maybe to conclude, or I'll just leave the final words to you, maybe?
Well, you know, thank you for watching the film. And I hope that, you know, the people that have watched it have each, you know, had their own, unique time watching it. It's always fun watching it with people because you never know how they're going to react to some things. And, you know, I love experiencing reactions that, you know, as the filmmaker, people react to some things and you say perfect, and other things you say, oh my God, you know what I mean? And so I think that's part of the beauty of it, that everyone has their own reaction. So I hope everyone who's watched it has had an interesting reaction and has maybe thought, you know, taken it and maybe thought about experiences they've had and what that maybe means to them. And maybe it inspires them to think about some experiences with these maybe archaic or, you know, past organizations or structures or traditions that have changed now. And maybe it inspires us to kind of have a little compassion for ourselves and for others who are maybe trying to move past those things. And yeah, I hope it inspires people to take a think about maybe some things that they've experienced that maybe they've forgotten about, you know, that is kind of a world away, but they've tried to forget about. And maybe it inspires us to think and to acknowledge and move past those things.
Thank you very much for your time and for being so generous. So thanks for watching. Once again, this episode has been sponsored by the Directors Guild of Canada. Thank you so much, Aaron.
Court Toujours, le balado du Festival Regard, a été enregistré pendant la 26e édition du festival dans le cadre du marché du court présenté par Téléfilm Canada. Les épisodes ont été produits, réalisés et montés par le Mixbus Studio, qu'on remercie grandement. Je remercie aussi les cinéastes et autres artisans du cinéma qui se sont prêtés au jeu de Court Toujours et les partenaires qui ont rendu la diffusion de ce balado possible. Si vous avez aimé les épisodes, bien je vous invite à écouter la suite de Court Toujours et à suivre nos réseaux sociaux pour connaître toutes les activités du Festival Regard. Merci d'avoir été là et à bientôt.